Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Scaling the Gap. I am joined today by someone who's in a sister industry to our general home service, home improvement space from the over on the construction side of the world. So building the houses that we're spending our time improving or doing things too many years down the road. And also, he is a fellow podcast host. So you know that I love to jam with other podcasters because we are a special tribe of individuals. So I am really looking forward to getting you all introduced to Jeremy Owens. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. We're super delighted to have you on the show and get your other side of the field perspective from the other half of the industry, I would say, or precursor to our industry. It's pretty fun. So why don't you share a little bit with our audience about who you are and the work you do in this world?
Yeah, I am third generation in the remodeling business, three generations improvements. So my grandpa Bob started in the industry in the 50s. So that's the Hoover administration for those who are counting. And then my dad, Kurt, in the 70s and myself in early 2000s. So very much has been in my blood. I, you know, went on sales calls with my dad when I was a boy and to high school and college, did all that, and then decided to kind of stick with the family thing. And it really was a natural fit for me. So
awesome.
You know, here we are 25 years later.
You don't have the wayward, went off and did my own thing and then came back to the business. You didn't do the wayward child.
Super brief out of college, but I was still in the construction industry. I worked for a manufacturer as an operations manager, and I quickly realized I wasn't made out for corporate life, and being on my own was something that I always wanted to do. So it was just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And three generations is pretty darn impressive. So tell us about how that generational transition has been feeling and working for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's different because, you know, the construction industry, as you know, and the remodeling industry, it's transitioning a lot, right? I mean, back in my grandpa and my dad's era, it was very much a boys' club. It was... Yep. You know, there wasn't things like this. There wasn't empathy. There wasn't talk about any like feelings or, you know, not even necessarily caring about staff and things like that. It was all work, all business. And that's it. It's just the way the industry was. So from that to now, I mean, there's nothing alike, you know, I mean, with technology and, you know, I still remember going with my dad and he had, you know, roll quarters in his car and you had to stop and go to a payphone to call a client and you had maps and you had, it's just, there's nothing similar. So it really, you don't really draw on a lot of the aspects of the business, but you draw on things like networking and integrity and, you know, doing right by the client. The things that really do matter at the end of the day, those are the same.
Yeah, those core values are consistent from one generation to another, but how it's lived, it's so crazy to think what a radical difference 30 years has made in the business landscape, right? Like what 50 years has made, right? Back, you go even further. It's so like mind-blowing to consider it wasn't really that long ago that we were quarters in the payphone and paper maps. Like, not that long.
I know. And even in the beginning of my career, I was printing out MapQuest.
Yes.
You know, that was the way you got to it. And if your MapQuest wasn't right, you better have a map.
Right.
You know, otherwise you're going to the gas station and get a map. So like, I had a little bit of that, you know, and, you know, my generation, I still feel is the best because we grew up with no technology. And I think that was really a beneficial way of growing up.
Right.
You know, I didn't have my first cell phone until college. So like it, you know, things really have moved very fast.
Yep. Jeremy and I are over here dating ourselves because we're like, yep, that was me too. I did that too. I actually remember when I got my very first Garmin, it wasn't built into the car. It wasn't built into the phone. It was a separate standalone, massive, huge, heavy brick of a nav system. And I felt like a million bucks with that thing because, you know, I had a friend once who told me that my homing pigeon died at birth. I just don't have one. I don't know how to get places. I don't remember how I got there. Right. I can actually get back, but I can't get to. So that was just saved me so many awkward phone calls of, yeah, I'm close by, but I can't find your shop.
Right. Like, so, yeah.
Back in the day. It's so cool. So cool. So you have such a big heart and passion for the construction industry. As I mentioned in my quick little blurb at the beginning, you actually have a podcast that features it. You've got a couple different things that you do. You have your Construction Executive Live podcast that drops monthly. So tell us where this profound passion came from, because there's got to be some precursor here.
Yeah. It's a good question. I think about it often. I'm like, what am I doing? Because, you know, the day job at Three Generations is enough for anybody. I have enough on my plate. My inbox does not shrink. It only gets bigger.
Yep.
So I really didn't need to add anything to my life. But during COVID, we lost kind of our connection piece as an industry. You know, the conferences were happening. People weren't connecting as an industry. So really, it started with a desire to network and connect with my peers, especially because I'm a networker and I know that I haven't figured it all out. I need help. I'd like to have people that I can rely on, call on, you know, when I needed it. So it started with that, and then it kind of quickly turned into, what kind of tools do I need for my business? What can I build to plug into efficiencies? You know, so I build products and services for the industry. And then my network that I started to gain, like, how do I highlight them? How do we get them on my website and have them on my podcast and talk to them? And it's really cool. I mean, it really started with just taking calls during COVID. And that was a new thing for our industry. We never did Zoom. It was
never.
Like, I mean, barely heard of it. And then, or you know it, during COVID, I was taking a couple of Zoom calls a week, and it was from just random people all over the nation. You're like, this is kind of cool. Turned into, like, man, I love what you're saying. Let's, you know, get on my show. And then it would turn into that. And then from then on, it was just like, I got a line of people who want to be on my show, but there's also a line of people I want to talk to. And it's really about having a curious mind, right? It's that curiosity of wanting to know more. But the real reason behind it is legacy. That word alone, you know, I can have a job, I can do great work, I have pride in what we do, but it's always about, will my kids be proud of me when I'm all done?
Yeah, right.
I built some cool things and there's some great things in the community, but what have I left behind and what is it lasting? And so that's really the piece.
Yeah, that's really, really super cool. And I mean, maybe one day it'll be four generations.
So right.
That's the hope, right? Carry the torch. That is really beautiful. I love that the spark was this need for connection during COVID, right? There are so many things that, beautiful gifts, ugly wrapping paper that we got during COVID. And I was a Zoomer well before it was popular, right? I had a consulting firm in the home improvement, home services space. And, you know, like, our people are a little salt of the earth people, right? Like, they can be a little gritty and they can be a little bit. So I had to really preach on the emphasis of, like, listen, I don't have to sit in your office in order to support you. So I was educating people on Zoom for years before the COVID system helped us really jump into Zooming, right? As a culture. And that level of connectivity is so incredible, right? Like you said, all over the United States, all over the world, right? You get to experience a person on a screen, sitting on your desktop, right? Or on a phone, sitting in your truck sometimes. And that power of connectivity is so incredible. And I love that you saw it and started to capture it. And then you said, wait a minute, I'm building all these connections. Now what? Like, now what? Now what? Right? So tell us a little bit about US Construction Zone. What is that all about?
Yeah. I mean, it, like I said, it started with a connection piece, but it turned into, you know, education. It turned into, you know, how can I, you know, talk about these great topics in the industry. And really, I try to get into serious stuff. A lot of, like, what we're talking about today, I try to peek behind the curtain and get a lot into mental health is a huge force for me. So, you know, there's some topics that is a common thread for me. You know, sometimes it's product or service based, but a lot of times it's theories and thoughts and you know, the things that we really weren't supposed to say or didn't say as an industry back 5-10 years ago. And now it's kind of becoming more mainstream, and it's really cool. I mean, I'm proud of our industry. I'm a fierce proponent of it. I'm protecting it constantly. It's just a constant battle I have, protecting our people and the great things we do and highlighting it as a job, as a career. That's the other theme is like, I'll be here forever. So I better love it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a nobility in it. I was chatting with a guest the other day and they said something so fascinating. They said, I really don't take it lightly that we get to go into someone's home, their sacred space, and to make it more of what is for them, right? More useful, more practical, more beautiful, more aligned to their family, more aligned to their needs, more aligned to their phase of life. Like, it's like, I really don't take it lightly that people invite us into their most, like where they make their memories, where they live their lives, where they work out their relationships, right? That is a really like protective, sacred space. And there is such nobility in what we do in our industry. And I think that more people would be willing to put in that hard work, right? That, you know, if they recognize that they're part of something that's much bigger than just, you know, wrenching.
Right. Yeah, no. And then from the outside looking in, that's what we're described as, right? You know, the butt crap plumber, the, you know, white male in a hard hat, like all these like kind of images that you have of our industry, which, you know, for better or worse, that's kind of what it was described as. It was like, you know, not good enough for college, come out of the military, things like that.
Sure.
Just always bugged me. And me being in it and meeting some of the, you know, just crazy professional people.
Right.
And that they could be building any kind of business in any sector. And that's why I really do, you know, I staunchly support it. And then and the college thing is a real bugaboo for me. I did it, but I haven't drawn on it. Honestly, and that bugs me. And then it bugs me that, you know, parents haven't brought it to the kitchen table with their own kids and say, hey, what do you want to do? Let's talk about what you want to do.
Right. Right.
Then we'll help you get there. And I'm not saying for some jobs, you have to have them. I get it.
Sure.
But for some kids and some careers,
yeah,
I can show you a different way. And this
absolutely
is for you. So that's what I really want that conversation to be had more than
love
just
that.
Everyone goes to 4-year. You know,
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Right. I mean, it really doesn't make you less at all. You know, my brother is a prime example. He's not in the construction industry at all. He's a programmer and he is a senior lead developer, I think is the current title, which basically means he makes very advanced programs. He makes systems talk to themselves. He didn't do one day of college. He was horrible in school. And it's not that he wasn't intelligent. He is so brilliant. It's that his brilliance wasn't suited for a classroom environment. Not being good at tests, not being good at sitting still quietly in your seat and taking notes does not make you less, right? And there are so many avenues for you to capture your brilliance and to use your brilliance outside of what used to be the standard, right? And maybe still is today kind of the standard. So I'm curious to see where we are in another couple of decades, where if that standard will shift a little and people will recognize the broad spectrum of opportunity available to them, because you can get into an amazing career with a great company and start earning money today while you're building skills that can take you into a tomorrow versus accruing hundreds of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars of debt, and then not even still earning equivalent to what that person who started right out of high school started earning.
No, you're absolutely right. You nailed it on the head. And really, even back starting even earlier in the classroom, like we're telling these kids, and my son's a 14 and he's a little bit ADHD in that his train of thought is kind of going around and around. And like tell him to sit for 8 hours is like awful. It's just like an awful experience for him. He does not like to do it at all. And I get it. And like, I just wish it was different. I wish there was like movement. I wish there was like, hey, we're going to go walk around here and talk at the same time. Like, you know, little kids, little boys especially, you learn so much better when you're moving at the same time, but we're just telling them to sit down and be quiet. And like, it's just,
Yeah, I agree. So my son is 10 and he's level 1 autistic. So he has some learning differences. And for him, being in a classroom environment, like he can't always figure out what's going on, right? He just can't assess he can't read the room. He doesn't know what's happening in the room. So he'll do things that are wildly like misaligned to what the group dynamic is doing because he doesn't sense the group dynamic the way a neurotypical kid would, right? So the best move I ever made was moving him from a public school to a one-to-one school. which means all of his classes are individually tutored by a subject matter expert who is passionate about that subject, right? So he has a retired scientist teaching him science. It's so cool. And his days are super short. They're 4 hours. You can cram into 4 hours because it's just him learning what he needs to learn. Then he can go do those things. And they're recognizing that, guys, stay with it. We're going to come back to construction. Don't you worry. They're recognizing that thread of brilliance in him where he is an artist. My son has this capacity for art. He thinks in three dimensions. So he can create a character in his mind and fully design it in radical three dimension. And they're teaching him at 10 years old how to be able to translate what he sees in his mind onto a paper. Right. So imagine where he's going to be when he's 16.
Right.
It's so cool. And this is just understanding your gifting, knowing where you're strong, knowing where you're brilliant, knowing where you are so special and unique is a massive passion for me. It's actually, I wrote a book called The Tenacious Pursuit of Peace, Where to Go When Success is Not Enough. Little shout out to it in the background. But I referenced twice in those hundred and however many pages. And it's Now Discover Your Strengths by Donald Clifton and Marcus Buckingham. Mm. And because that was a turning point in my life where I went from focusing on where I suck and my weaknesses and devoting my energy and effort to that to focusing on my strengths and my gifts. And it was a radical transition point.
Right.
When you can recognize you have these types of gifts and you can utilize them in all these ways, mm-hmm. including like if you're gifted with using your hands to build something, I mean, dude, there are 6 holes behind this painting. I can't build anything to save my life. Right. For those of you listening in Airways, there's a painting hanging behind me and it's a beautiful painting. I love the artist. Shout out to Amira Rahareem. She's amazing. But I can't hang it, right? I measured it, I marked it, and still it was off. And I measured it, I marked it, still it was off, right? I don't have that gift.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a blessing in my life to have people who have that gift.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love your passion in that subject. You can tell it means a lot to you. And you're right. We need to focus more on our kids, you know, their passions and their strengths instead of being like, oh man, you're not very good at math. So let's really dive into that. And instead of like, there should be a lot more work on what you're good at and what you like to do. And then, hey, you like to do those? Here's your careers that do that.
Yes.
Like we have so many kids that go to a 4-year and do a whole degree and they've never been stepped foot in a doctor's office. If they're, you know, they'd never shadowed a nurse before. Right. And it's like, well, easy. Shouldn't you check that out first? What if you pass out the side of blood? Like, let's do a little bit more shadowing in 101 and find out, like, you know, right away. I mean, I worked at Intel as an internship in college. Because Intel is tech, everybody in Folsom, that's where you want to be. And I did an internship. And then within the first couple of days, I was like, oh, like, this isn't it.
Not for me. Right.
Not for me. Yeah. So like it just, but again, I could have completely did that. And I would have been one of those miserable workers that just, you know, got to go back to work.
Right. So. I mean, so there's this beautiful saying that you should build a life you don't need a vacation from. Right. Okay, now, first of all, we all need vacations, and I'm taking vacations whether I love my work or not. So we all need vacations. But it's the ideal is to work within your gifting, work within your passions, and then you have fun doing it, and you bring joy and vibrance into your work. And I think that the home improvement, home services, construction industry, there are so many iterations of how you can bring gifting to the table in a way that serves people deeply. And I'm equally here for it. I love you're so passionate about it too.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Add it to my list.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There we go. Add it to the list. It's just such an important consideration. I mean, and I have a business partner over at my consulting business, ProQ Systems, and he and I both write children's books because we are so passionate about showing children that there's more. There's other avenues. Entrepreneurship is right here for you, right? And also that, you know, this whole ideal of understanding those philosophies. You talked about in your U.S. construction zone how you spend a lot of time talking about ideas and philosophies and the things that weren't discussed decades ago are becoming, you know, part of your everyday conversations. And that those understanding those philosophies young, being exposed to those philosophies young, it deepens your capacity. And why not provide children who have capacity with depth from day one?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. No, I think that, and I don't know where we go. I know that the college thing and the way we educate our kids is changing, right? There's a little bit less, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, it felt like it was a huge push from a society standpoint that we all must go to college. And if you don't, you're a loser and all that kind of stuff. And now people are going like, wait a minute, I don't know if that's true anymore, mainly because of the cost and, you know, that the college became a huge business and that, you know, people getting a 4-year doesn't necessarily mean you're automatically going to step into that $80,000 job that they were looking for. And now it's, oh crap, they're working at Starbucks. Oh my goodness. Yep. Yeah. Oh my God, my friend over here is a plumber, is making over 80 right now. Oh my God, what did I do? Like,
right. Yeah. It's so good.
Flipped around a little bit, which is, I think, is a good thing. I think this is the way it should be. It should be a discussion and let's customize our experience for my kid and let's make sure they have a good work life, because that 10,000 hours thing is real. Once you have past 10,000 hours and you feel like an expert, sky's the limit. You can talk about it on a podcast. You could go stand on stage somewhere. Like, it's different. It changes.
Sure.
And now you're an expert. And now, like, you feel like, I never need to leave this industry. I'll always be a part of it somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a different feeling.
Yep, absolutely is. And there's also something about when you're really young, you might not know, right? There's the process of discovery. And I think that also is important to normalize. And even, you know, as we're bringing people into our organizations and building out our teams, sometimes they come in for a certain job because they think that's what they're good at, and then come to find out they're skilled over here at a totally different thing that they've never considered. But when you unlock it for them, a whole new vista opens, right? So as an employer, we have also the joy of allowing people the process of discovery within our own organization. And then as individuals, as parents, as individuals, there's that capacity to just know that sometimes that you don't know the answer yet, right? You might not know what you're going to love, right? Yeah. And that it's okay to journey, right? That's part of what we all do. We all journey, right?
Yeah.
It's part of the process, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you're young and you're, you know, 18 to 25, there's a lot of learning that goes on there. And the, you know, you're stepping out of the house for the first time. There's a security thing. There's things that happen to you. And like, yeah, you should go explore. You should go figure out what you want to do and what kind of jobs you like. And, you know, it's okay to live in the moment. But at the same time, you know, let's not make a big decision that's going to alter the course of my life, that I'm going to be so many of those people that hate their jobs and that the job, you know, Sunday night panic because they have to work on Monday is a real thing. And if you have that, you got to bail. You got to try something else.
Yep. That is your nervous system telling you are in the wrong space, right? You are in the wrong space. And don't get sunk cost fallacy. You put so much time and money into it that you feel like you keep having to put time and money into it. Wrong, right? Like, if you work in your zone of brilliance, you will go further, faster with half as much effort. So you can always recoup the time.
Yep, no doubt.
Right? Always. Well, we waxed poetic on that. We both got passionate. We both got heck of passionate about education and also like the nobility of this work that we do, the nobility of our industry, the vast opportunities that are here for people. So there's been something that you've been pondering a little while, and it has to do with some of this and some of these threads here. And it's been that this concept of finding your why. And I wanted to just wrap this around to the conversation, because it's such an important component part. It really touches on the themes that we've been zeroing in on. So chat with us a little bit about your passion for this and where your thoughts have been around it.
Yeah, I don't know where it started, but it really is maybe a goal of me getting on a stage soon and talking about a subject matter. And this subject matter has always been kind of on my heart for some reason. And I think the main reason is that in our industry, when you go to like a conference, I just got back from a conference with my son in Chicago, and it was a remodeling conference called the Pinnacle Experience, and it's always great. But most of the people that you see, the imagery is like, oh yeah, I just went to 150 million and, you know, here's our growth and this is what we're doing. And like, that's not me.
Right.
So like, I'm not that kind of drive for bigger, better, and size and things like that. That's never been me. Mine's always been freedom of time. And so, mm-hmm. you know, and like that whole legacy piece, like that means yeah. more to me. And so like finding a why for, it could be any organization, but in the construction space is like for a sales organization, you need to find out what makes people tick. If you don't, and it's all about the leaderboard, you know, a lot of people don't care about that. They don't care about the next buck. They care about something else. And if you don't find out what that is, then you're not going to be able to motivate people properly and also make them happy. You know, if you want them to stay and you want to, you know, your retention rate to go up, you need to actually have these conversations with your staff and you need to talk to them about what they want out of life, what they want out of the job, what do they want to be, where do they see that? Instead, it's just a lot of times it's just sales. And we need to get to this and look at the leaderboard, you know, just at the top again, we get a job, you know,
yep.
It's just, it bugs me a little bit about yeah. our industry. I don't like the whole overly salesy thing. I do like culture component. And
right.
so it's like, got to find out what that is. And it's
yeah.
different for every human, obviously.
It really is. It absolutely is. And I mean, I think you said it early on, you know, back in the day, it was a boys club. And I think some of that has held over. And I affectionately call it bro culture, right? It's that like beating the chest and like, look how good we are. Look how awesome we are. Look at these big, huge numbers we achieved. It's like, mm-hmm. that is all well and good. And, you know, we have a bold ambition of helping significant number of companies break the $10 million barrier. Like this, it's true. It's in there. This is what we do. We're a growth consulting firm. Yes, all of that. And right, without heart, without meaning, money's an empty bag.
Right.
Right. Money is the cheapest measure of success
right.
because anyone can have money
right.
for any reason. It's
right.
not an indicator of your success, actually. You right. could win the lotto and have money that doesn't actually make you successful. It just makes you financially wealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And if people want to go down that rabbit hole, there's a book by Simon Sinek that I've been reading. It's called Start With Why. And that's what he talks about is if you're not as an organization talking about why you do it, people buy your why. They don't buy the product or service. And the more that you can talk about your why as a person, it just humanizes it. I mean, people already buy from people anyways, but if you give them the reason that you're doing it beyond making your home pretty, it really helps galvanize it and it yeah. makes it real. It makes it, you know, like you said, we're in that their safe place. You enter into that safe place and you're able to really do it right, you know?
Yeah.
It with
yeah.
integrity.
I love it. Well, I love that this passion for helping the individualization of the why, right? It's not just as an organization. Yes, it's important, but each individual human within that organization is going to have particular motivations. And when you can tap into that, ooh, super
right.
cool.
Right.
Well, Jeremy, with everything that we've chatted about, you know, we talked a lot about your big passions for legacy and connection. We talked about this education and strengths and talents and gifts and the nobility of our industry. I have my final question. Loyal listeners, you know where we're going to go. Do you, after all this, consider yourself to be successful?
Such a tough question. I would say I'd answer two ways. I would say, personally, I feel very confident that I'm on the right path. I feel
mm-hmm.
like I've never arrived, right? Mm-hmm. I always want to be striving to be better. Professionally, I don't think you can ever say that you've arrived. I think if you say you're a success, it's like a period, you know,
mm-hmm.
then okay, that might be you, but I mean, also means you're not growing. And for me, it's like, I'm not where I want to be. You know, my desired state is further ahead. So I wouldn't say I'm a success, period.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I'm a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. So one of the things that I like to do for my guests is to backwards engineer a success algorithm. Every time someone shares with me what they think the different component parts of success look like, because again, just like your why, what you think about it and why you think about it that way are really unique and individualized. So as we were chatting, I jotted down a few little things and I put something together for you. And let's see, I think that there might be, I added in a couple of things and we'll see what you think. Now, sometimes I nail it right out of the box and sometimes I don't. So it's okay if we have to journey a little bit, right? So let's go. Let's see how I did. So for Jeremy Owens, success equals being confidently on the right path, plus the capacity to better your best, plus rich connections, plus the creation of legacy.
Perfect. Yeah, please send that to me. Goodness. Yeah, I nailed it. That's what it is for me. I mean, and that's my answer, but there's no wrong answer, right?
Right.
And like, that's the cool thing about it is like, that's personally mine.
Right. Yes. This is the Jeremy Owens formula,
right?
Your personal algorithm. And what the coolest part for this is that you can look at these things and say, do I feel in this moment that I'm confidently on the right path? Well, you know, 10 out of 10, I feel like I'm a 7 now. Well, right. Time to reassess, because it's a core component of your own success algorithm, right? And the reason why I ask this question, it's just my favorite question to ask, and I've asked it hundreds of times. And the reason is that when we think about success before we've become successful, it's almost always related to financial gain. The more and more and more successful you become, the less it's about financial gain and the more it's about other component parts. I actually think we might have missed one little piece of the algorithm, and I think it's time freedom, because you mentioned that earlier and I didn't put it in. And I wonder if we need to add it.
I do like that component, because the freedom of time to me is kind of, you know, when everyone describes their success, it usually is money, but it also is time to go do what you want to do as well, without the feeling of like, I can't leave for more than a week because I got a business to run, right? That freedom of time to me, it means that you've arrived and that you have a team underneath you that can take care of you, and you don't have to worry. And I'm not there at all. And that's a huge struggle for me. So like, yeah, I would say that's a big component.
Yeah, I would put that one first, actually. I would kick it off with freedom to use my time as I wish.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into those other components. But I mean, having a broader conversation around success is one of the things that I think allows individuals to go after what they perceive to be success for themselves, right? You talked about these big conferences, and I've been going to the same conferences as you for many decades.
Yeah.
And I've been bothered by that hoorah, hoorah, hoorah thing, where there's a lot of, like, I'm sorry for those of you who are on the stage, a lot of pompousness and not a lot of truth in the journey, right? They talk about all these big, huge numbers. They didn't talk about on year two how they had to lay off half of their staff. They didn't talk about that time that they had to take a predatory loan because they couldn't afford payroll. They didn't take about like all those things, which the people in the audience, the regular business owners, those of us who are building multi-million dollar businesses and even going further than that, and you know, even the aspirational ones among us, we live these struggles, right? The actual journey is hard and painful, and you are going to have low moments that feel like insanely scary.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a dark side bone of the business, and you're kind of always on, and it's those times when it is heavy, it sits on your shoulders and it sits on your chest, and
yep.
You sigh a lot and you go, I kind of catch my breath.
You know? That's right.
There are physical signs that you're like, yes. Oh crap. Okay. Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
I caught myself a couple of years ago. I was building out Home Pro Toolbox, which is a digital content library that I have. And I heard myself say out loud, if I keep going like this, I'm going to have a heart attack. If I keep going like this, I'm going to have a heart attack. It's literally my body trying to say it through my mouth. Like,
right.
Slow down, girl. Like,
right.
You are going to have a heart attack. Your body is telling you through your own voice.
Right.
And when I heard it the third time, when I said it a third time, it dawned on me, like, wait a minute, this is a pretty big red flag that my body is telling me the volume of stress you're carrying is beyond your capacity and you need to back it down.
Right.
And it's like that capacity to listen. You talked about mental health earlier. We have to.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a nice to have. If we crash, who's going to lead the company?
Right.
Right? An obligation to your people to take good care of yourself.
Yeah. No doubt. In our industry, we're just terrible at it. We, you know, again, the bros club and all that, we can do it, and yeah. I don't need help. And then before you know it, you're drinking too much and you're taking substances. Yeah. You're just trying to quiet it all down. And
yeah.
It's a slippery slope. I mean, it obviously that can happen to anybody, but it usually is a place where it's like, hey, you need help. And if you don't get it, then the bad things are going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, this has been such a robust conversation, Jeremy. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for sharing your passion with us. Thank you for walking us through this really fantastic success algorithm. I really appreciate the capacity to better your best, legacy, connection, like these key points, time freedom, so valuable for all of us. So thank you for sharing all that with us.
Thank you. You're so good at prying all that stuff out of me.
It's one of my gifts. So why don't you share with our listeners where they can find you or find out more about you if they want to connect further?
Yeah, you can always connect with me on LinkedIn or go to jeremy@usconstructionzone.com. Send me an email if you want to connect, jump on a Zoom call. Like I said, I'm a pretty open book. I take meetings with people. I want to be open. And so, yeah, don't hesitate.
I love it. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for being on the show. And for those of you listening at home, do not underestimate the value of pausing and finding your why, the value of considering if you're one of those people who is having that Sunday evening dread of, to get up on Monday, maybe, just maybe, you need to be refining, rethinking, rediscovering your own strengths, your own talents, and really deciding what kind of life, what kind of business, what kind of future, what kind of legacy you want to build. All right, my friends, I'll catch you on the next episode. Bye for now. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McRae, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.